Mensing Mao and Kasalelia Mainko. That's good morning and hello everyone from your brothers and sisters in Micronesia. If you would be turning with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 16. This is my family you see behind me. We didn't bring all six around because it's kind of scary to bring six new people into a congregation. But they're with us today, this morning, in their hearts. We've been out in Micronesia, like he said before, for 3 years. We've been working out there full-time for three, but we've been doing part-time for about seven. Let's look at Romans 12, 9 through 16. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Now, almost any time that we tell anyone that we're missionaries, one of the first questions that come out of their mouth is, well, what do you do? Well, this is asked for many reasons. Sometimes some people have been interested in it. They're interested in being a missionary. This is something that's always intrigued them. And so they're asking that question to just get a little detail about it. Sometimes they're asking us to kind of pigeonhole us. Are you ones that go in and build buildings? Do you run an orphanage or a widow's home? Do you go in and spend Bible studies? Are you just a preacher in a foreign congregation? And sometimes they're asking that question to trick us because they want to convince us that we made a bad life choice or we're just going trying to Americanize these poor countries. Now, there are a lot of different ideas behind that question, but it's almost always a hard one when it's asked. So it's kind of a challenging question. It's like an alien coming to Earth and asking, oh, you're human, so what do you do? There's a lot to it. It's a lot of intricacies that are part of everyday life. There's so many facets of being a full-time missionary. So when we're asked that question, we generally hit them with a brief overview of maybe what we've done for the last year and a half or something like that. But it's hard to detail all the emotion that's behind the action and all the patience and compassion that's needed just for everyday life and all the draining effects that when Satan acts against us, all that draining effects can have on our heart. So what I'd like to do today is just to briefly discuss the life of being a full-time missionary in light of these verses in Romans 12, 1 through 16. And also, hopefully, you'll be able to apply these concepts to your life and the lives of those around you. If you have a heading in your Bible in this section, it usually says something like the marks of a true Christian. Now, I want to let you know right off the bat that I'm not here to say, oh, look at our family. We're true Christians. This is what you need to be like. We're far from that. It's something we strive to be, but we're far from it. But I do want to let you see how we try to match these verses up with our daily lives and how we strive to achieve these verses. So the first, let love be genuine. It's almost impossible to be a good missionary without having some level of compassion. If you come into an area and you're fake and showy with the people there, well, pretty soon they're going to start being fake and showy with you. And you're not going to have a genuine connection and a genuine life-changing connection unless that love is deeper and your love is genuine. You know, Jesus was never out looking for a photo op. When he went out to meet people, he tried to touch their heart and reach into their minds and change their hearts. But to truly do that, you have to share part of your life and you need to experience part of theirs to make that true connection. And the truth is the same here on this side of the world also. You know, so many people here in the States know nothing of their neighbors that are just right outside the door. Or people in the congregation know nothing more of the other members other than the fact where they sit and if there's been anybody sick in their family lately. You know, we need to work on making those deeper connections. And sometimes even within your family, you don't know a lot about your spouses or your children. So let your love be genuine. Make those true connections. You know, even though Jesus could read hearts and minds, he spent a lot of time still making these emotional connections with people and tying into that and showing compassion and really getting to know these people. And we should try to do the same thing, especially within our families and in our church families. Next, abhor what is evil. Now, and hold fast to what is good. Every culture has their own virtues and vices. And one of the things we struggle with almost daily is picking battles between cultural issues and moral issues. Now, there are, of course, biblical moral standards, and they're the same across the board. Those never change no matter where you are in the world. But there are many issues that we struggle with, such as superstition, cultural traditions, and ceremonies, and such as these, that we must be careful when we try to pick our battles. The Pompeians, for example, that you see here have local addictive substances such as sakau, is what you see at the top. It's made out of a root and it's like a sedative. And betel nut, and it's like a tobacco, a harsh tobacco. They're harmful for their health, but they're heavily tied to their traditions. So a lot of times we have to pick our battles when it comes to things like this. But there are also things that the culture see that even the locals see are destroying their families and their youth. And we try to, as the church, we try to join with them, the community at large, to fight against these things. These things like domestic violence and substance abuse and drug and alcohol dependency and depression, among many other things. And we spend a good bit of time doing these type of things. But we also try to praise and celebrate that hold fast to what is good. Try to praise and celebrate the things that they do right. You know, they're a very communal culture. So they have a lot of deep connections with family and with neighbors and with people around them. We try to join with the community to celebrate a lot of those facets. Here are just a few of the community efforts that you see my wife participating in. I want to talk about one specific. This is International Women's Day. I don't even know if you even notice it on the calendar, but to them, being a matriarchal society, this is one of the biggest events of the year. People come from all over the island and come from the outer islands to join together. The women come together to join together and celebrate their culture and song and dance and many traditions. Well, my wife this last year and the year before that went out to that Women's Day and brought glasses that had been donated from some local congregations, brought some sunglasses that had been donated from here, from one of the members that worked with the Lions Club here. And with that, we put in bookmarks and put in little pamphlets and brochures to talk about the congregation. So that's just one of the different ways that we've done outreach to the community. Another way that we've worked is we started a community theater there, and it's been wonderful for opening doors. We've been able to open door with schools, so we're now going to try to have our first after school program. It's been really hard to get into those high schools, but this has opened the door for that. And also, they have a COM, which is the College of Micronesia. We're going to be able to start our first mission there. And so this has been really good outreach. So it's good to hold with what is good in the community. VBS is another great outreach. We had a great opportunity last year to actually go out to three different islands to have a VBS. And this was just an amazing experience because it involves the congregation, gets them involved. It involves the community, and it's great outreach. One of the things that we got to do this last year is it opened up a door to an island that we had never been before. This is the island of Kosrae, is where this VBS took place. And most of this island belongs to a congregational denomination. So we've been told it's a closed culture, and it's very hard to get into. So we had an opportunity to go out there and visit. We kind of stepped out on faith because we didn't know anyone there. We didn't have a venue for where we were going to have this. And we were a little bit scared of how we would be accepted when we got out there. But while trying to find a place, we were invited to meet with the governor. And I thought it was kind of like being called into the principal's office. So we were a little scared of what was going to happen, a little apprehensive at first. But he greeted us with open arms. And he arranged to have the local high school gym for us to have this event. And was a little sorrowful that we only had a one-day event planned because it took us that long to try to find the venue. But he invited us back, and he said, the people in Kosrae need to hear the word of the Lord, and we need it any way that we can. So hopefully that's another opportunity for us to try to come back out there this year. Now, tying that into here, with so many issues that are popping up today, offering so many different viewpoints and contention and opposition, especially on things like Facebook, you know, we're tempted to find the people that have opposing views of us and see them as our enemies. But conflict often breeds more conflict. Now, again, things that are morally evil, like I talked about at first, they should be treated as such. But in other situations, it's good to kind of weigh the other people's viewpoints. Because even here in the States, we're brought up with different cultures. We're brought up with different families and in different environments. So we should try to look for the good. Look for those things that God wants us to focus on by being lights to the world. This is one more of the VBSs in Chuuk. Next, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Hospitality comes very natural to the people out in the Pacific. Most of the time when I come out for a Bible study or any of the family comes out to another person's land, we're usually greeted with local foods and coconuts, huge coconuts like you see here. And many times we've been given honor, seats of honor in cultural events. And we've really done nothing to deserve it. But we really appreciate that. And we have to not let things like that go to our head. And not make that make us feel superior in any way. So we make it the goal to treat those in places of honor with great respect. It's a very unique environment. We have tribal officials and kings, but we also have senators and a president. So it's kind of a hybrid between old culture and new culture. But we try to pay homage and pay respect to these. And it's been expressed multiple times with giving us nods that we are being very careful with the culture. And that opens the door for many opportunities. It also comes to play in the congregation. I never try to come in as, I'm the preacher, look at me. We're there to train and train them to be leaders. We don't want to be spotlighted in any way. We don't want to try to grandstand. So we constantly remind them that we're equals in Christ. Even though we might have more training or more biblical knowledge, that definitely doesn't mean that I'm a better Christian. So we all work together and strive to be brothers and sisters. And I push the locals to go into these leadership positions so that they can be the leaders of the church. And we strive to train these men in services, and we also, the ladies, lead in teaching and serving in other ways. And we train the younger children to be song leaders and speakers. You know, it seems in today's culture, honor and respect are often pushed to the side. And people spend a lot of time highlighting their self-worth and almost what they call a selfie-type world that we live in. In the New Testament alone, that word honor is used 50 different times. And if you look through the Old Testament, see, there's even more. Christ wants us to have a servant heart. So we should devote more energy into elevating others rather than seeking to raise ourselves up. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. You know, when you're a full-time missionary, it's easy to get burnt out. When you go on like a two-week short-term mission trip, you can hit the ground running and never take a breath till you're back on that plane to go home. You can thrive off each other's momentum. You can build each other up, and everyone stays active and engaged. We had two interns, had our first interns come out to visit us this last year, two ladies from Fried Hardman, Taylor Craft, and Kirsten Walker. And when they hit the ground, they had plenty of plans and desires, and we met them at the plane with even more plans and desires. But when the island took over everyday life, a lot of those didn't come to fruition, because daily life and the chaos that comes with it can be quite challenging out there. We had to convince them that this is not a working vacation, because life is a challenge for us and for the people that are there. We can attempt to make plans, but many times instead of plan A, B, or C, we end up somewhere around X, Y, and Z when it comes to daily life. So much of our life as a missionary is adaption, is changing to your environment, changing your plans and letting God control those plans. But we focus on continued service and fighting through the temptation to let things go or to take the easy way out when challenges come our way. Again, that's another truth that can apply to the Christian life here. We must not tire in serving the Lord and doing good works. It's easy to get caught up in your daily lives and not seek for ways to assist and serve others. Few actively search for opportunities, and even fewer put their hearts into that service. In Titus 2:14, we read, Paul says, God wants his people to be zealous for good works. That's passionate and enthusiastic. That's what he wants us to do in his service, is to put our hearts into it. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Now, one of the greatest moments, of course, of potential and hope is the day when one obeys the gospel. When one rises up out of that watery grave of baptism to begin a new life, we try to make sure that we spend a lot of time with that new Christian so that they realize that they have a new family, that they have a new support system. And we try to ingrain that into their minds. And just like a new baby, a lot of times they need that extra attention to help them grow and to help them thrive on their own. Life in Pohnpei is very hard for many reasons. And it often feels like the church members sometimes get more than their share of heartaches and hardships. And we don't have to look far to see examples of this. Of the three baptisms that you see right here, there are at least two stories of heavy tribulation. The first family, this is the lady that's up in the top there. Her name is Maylene Robbie. And a little over 2 years ago, her uncle Charlie, who was our van driver at the time, came to ask us for prayers for this family. Her husband had been brutally murdered by a machete, by a man that laid in wait for him to get up and leave, leaving her with five kids, you see four of them right here, to raise on their own. And when something like that happens in a life, it can be a great challenge and it can lead to multiple problems. But instead, she reached out to us, and within about a few months after that, she began attending our services a year ago. She has a wonderful heart, and these are wonderful kids that we continue to work with to help them overcome that tribulation of the daily life, to be strong. The second, she was the little lady at the bottom. Her name is Fanon. While we were doing the trip that I showed you before, the VBS trip, when we returned back, So when we returned to the island, we found that she was extremely weak and looked extremely tired. We talked to the family, and they said that she had been told that she had pneumonia and had been given antibiotics. But she continued to decline, even taking that antibiotics, and got to the point where she could not even walk. Her family was having to carry her around everywhere that she went. Now, as I told you before, this it's a tribal society. So the family, in desperation, actually carried her to a local witch doctor and left her with them for a couple days in hopes that something would change with the local medicine, because they doubted the American or the outside medicine. But of course, nothing changed. So Christy took it upon her to try to go back to our small local hospital that we have there and impress on them that things had not changed. She became very skinny and declined, and like I said, could hardly move. But after looking into her deeper, we found out she had rheumatic heart disease, and her chest was completely full of fluid. Her heart was just barely moving, and if this had not been found out, she would have passed away within days. We spent a lot of time with her there in the hospital, and they began giving her a treatment of LASIK and doing things to try to help her out. But it wasn't looking good. Her parents had studied with her. She had studied with us also. And so she got to the point where she wanted to be baptized, but the doctors there would not let her leave her bed. And so that was some very challenging days for a couple of days, but she began to recover. And as she recovered, one of the first places she wanted to do as we left the hospital was to go out and be baptized. And with medical help and with prayers, now she's recovered a lot and she's gotten a lot stronger. She's still going to have to have an operation on her heart at some time to repair the damage, but she's become much, much stronger than she was. So there's a lot of tribulation in daily lives that come up there. And we spend, the last part of that verse, we spend a lot of time constantly in prayer. We also pray that the leaders will make the right choices for the community and for the country. The island life is a hard one, but prayer is the most powerful tool that we have. In the States, Christianity should also be constantly, we as Christians should also be constantly in prayer for our family and for the country and for the leaders and decisions they make. As I said before, prayer is a powerful tool, but a tool is useless if it's still just laying up on the shelf. So that's something we need to keep with us at all times. 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. As you can imagine, it's quite heart-wrenching. This is generally what we see around the island. When we see someone that they have no clothes for their children, or they're having trouble feeding their family, it really hurts our heart, but there's no way that we can go out and feed and clothe 45,000 people. That's just not anything that we can do. And there are examples of some denominations on the island. They actually pay people to attend. They'll pay them $5 or give them a bag of food just to come into the church building. And we don't want to build that mindset of dependence and our sense of entitlement. So we spend a lot of time with our members and their families trying to help them get jobs or help them find ways to plant things to support their families. So as a missionary, that's another thing that we do a lot. Now, sometimes we help them with those immediate medical needs like I talked about before. But we really want them to be self-sufficient. And we want to help them when they're having family struggles. So we also spend a lot of time counseling, doing many different kinds of counseling. We also spend a lot of time having monthly meals to teach them to rely on each other, that the church is their support system, and that they are responsible for helping their brothers and sisters, that they are responsible for watching over each other, just like any family would. These bonds help create a sense of camaraderie with the family, and they're constantly helping each other out with projects and things that arise. Now, I realize that things are different right now because of COVID-19. It's made a lot of changes and brings a lot of challenges to people here in the States. But hopefully, this social distancing thing is not going to last forever. And I'm asking you to think about life on the other side of the pandemic. Southern hospitality used to be a term that everyone knew and everyone recognized. But from time to time, having another couple come over to come from the church or having the neighborhood over for the meal, a lot of times that's kind of become a thing of the past. So I want to encourage you to do some of the things we do there, you know, to have people make those connections. We spend a lot of time trying to provide bonding opportunities, and I'm sure you do here as a congregation. But I want to challenge you to try to do that more, to bond with each other even closer. I think it's something that the most congregations here in the States could do a lot more of. When the church truly feels like family, then they can serve each other the way that we read the verses of the Bible tell us to do. Build each other up. Confess our sins one to another. Hold each other accountable. And the other things that the New Testament mentions as being the challenges and the duties of the church. Verse 14, bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Now, believe it or not, everyone on the island is not super excited that we're there. We do run into challenges. Sometimes we run into foreign atheists that kind of look at us in disgust and think we're there to, as I said earlier, just Americanize these poor people. But we try, we don't get discouraged by their words. We also have various denominations that sometimes argue against our teachings, and we spend a lot of time there in discussion and debates. We even had one member get punched in the face by a member of his family because they were having a heated discussion over the Bible. So we spend a lot of time having these discussions and debates with those that teach error, but we try to do it in love and never try to sever those bonds of friendship, because we do live on a small island and there's nowhere to run and hide. So we try to keep that sense of camaraderie and friendship open. But we spend a lot of time discussing those differences and pointing them to the true way. It's best not to get on anyone's bad side, like I said, because it's a small island. In Matthew 5, 11 through 12, we read Jesus saying the same thing that Paul echoes here. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we just ask continually, we pray that God will watch over us and help us have the right attitudes. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As I said before earlier, the time of obeying the gospel is an extremely joyful time. And we try to spend a lot of time rejoicing with them and integrating them and welcoming them into the congregation. But we also try to be part of their daily lives with things such as weddings and births and graduations and various other celebrations throughout the year. But there are, of course, times of sorrow. So we also spend a lot of times going to funerals and funerals of family members, unfortunately. A funeral is a big thing in Pohnpei. They have a 10-day funeral that has different things that happen and occur on each day. So we spend a lot of time weeping at their side and feeling that sorrow and feeling that pain. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Now, unfortunately, too many people, when they go out into the mission field, they kind of assume that they are the smarter people. And they sometimes show this in their attitude towards the locals and the way that they act towards the locals. In most cases, they might have more book learning, but that doesn't mean you have more common sense and you have more knowledge than the people there, especially in their environment. In fact, the more time you spend with them, long term with the inhabitants there, the more wisdom that we see in their elders, the more wisdom that we see in their daily lives, the more compassion that we see in their lives that we need to emulate, that we could use a lot more of. So we have to really fight the push to be haughty or to be to think of ourselves higher than we actually are. One good example of that is, as soon as I arrived on the island, one of the things that I brought with me was an unopened cement mixer that was 1 1/4 cubit mixer. And so I thought I was going to be very nice to bring technology like this to an island. And this would speed us up with concrete so much faster. So I unboxed it and set it out. And we were going to redo the floor of the church building there. So we had about 15 bags of cement in the truck. And I started with my cement mixer, and my sons came out, and we put in our rocks and our sand and the cement and everything. We started working with that mixture. Meanwhile, they decided to do it their way on the other side of the church building. So as we overloaded with the mixer, and 45 minutes later, we were trying to scoop stuff out because we could put too much stuff in there. And we almost got it going about an hour later and almost made one load. I looked around, and they had taken 4 bags, and they had put out the rocks, put out the sand, sprayed it with a water hose, made a line and started scooping with shovels, and had finished their 4 bags before I even got through my quarter bag. And then they looked over at me and my family in pity and sent 2 of their members to come over, and two of the people to come over and help us with the bags. So just because you think you bring in technology, that doesn't make you the smartest person in the room. And there's so many other examples of that almost daily that we see in their lives. So we want to spend a lot of time highlighting that and building on that. And we can really learn from a lot. We often also marvel, as I said before, at the empathy that members show each other, the heart that they reach out. I messed up my shoulder, and I'm going to have rotator cuff surgery on it now. But when that happened, I was working with one of the members, and he heard a tear in my arm when it happened. It was actually made an audio tear, and he stopped and almost collapsed to the floor. "Oh, you're in pain. You hurt your arm." And for the next month, he couldn't even make eye contact with me because he knew that I was in pain. And I as the pain subsided a little bit, I kept telling him, "No, it's okay, it's okay." But he saw it as his fault, which of course it wasn't. But they show so much empathy towards each other, and so much. They have such a connection with people, and that's something that we try our best to emulate. And the closeness of their family bonds and the support they give their families and neighbors is something we can learn from. Proverbs has a lot to say about pride and being wise in your own lives. Through the whole book, you see so many verses about it. We also see this in the servant nature of Christ. I appreciate the song that was led right before the sermon today. We need to really focus on being that servant. And the best way to live in harmony with others is to have a servant heart. And that's true in the mission field, but that's also true right here today. It's our goal to bring the Word of God to those who have a little or no access to the true gospel of Christ. We seek to train them, and we seek to learn from them. But that's not only our challenge, that's also something that Christ put out to the whole community and to the whole church. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, we see, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And for behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that's a challenge also sent out to you. It's not just something that we do. That's not just something that a missionary does. Everyone is a missionary to the people that are around them. So I hope some of the connections that I tried to point out today will give you a little insight or give you a little things to think about as you go about your daily lives. We should all try to be like Christ and focus on what we can do, because there's never been a man that exhibited these things that we see in Romans anywhere close to what Christ did. He exhibited all the traits that we saw and talked about today. So this morning, if you have not put on Christ in baptism or obeyed the gospel, there's no better opportunity than now. Or if you've wandered away from the pathway of Christ and need the prayers of the congregation, I invite you to come this morning, whatever your needs may be, as we stand and sing.